What's going on, Boiler Nation? It is Wednesday night. I almost said it was Tuesday night because we're usually recording on Tuesdays, but it's Wednesday night, October 29th, 2025. So happy Halloween to all Boilers out there. Hope everybody's safe out trick or treating. It's kind of a mouthful. Friday night with their kids, or heck, maybe you're going by yourself. I don't know. I'm not going to judge. But either way, hope everybody gets some good candy, has some safe and fun times. I'm Tanner Lee, co-host Aaron Lynch in the house. Our other co-host, Evan Webb, is not joining us this week. He's working. So,
and we've got a lot to get to at that basketball preview tonight, too.
Yeah, just kidding, Webby, because he will kill us if we were doing the basketball preview without him. So next week we'll be doing our basketball preview. Most likely be one game in. First game's Tuesday night against Evansville. The Boilers are actually in action tonight. Exhibition right game against Indianapolis. Just like the exhibition against Kentucky. Just want to get through it healthy. That's my main concern.
Ken, folks, not a real game.
Yeah, it's you wouldn't know that by the message boards and social media and the internet Friday night when people were panicking. It's like
I was this close to I thought I was going to see a fire Matt Painter comment.
It's ridiculous. Just and ridiculous.
I saw the Athletic came out and said we should be the number eight team in the nation. And I'm like, this is practice, folks. This is just practice.
Yeah, it's I don't know how much, if any, that Purdue scouted Kentucky. Purdue shot 17% from three-point range. That's not going to happen very often. They had TKR and Braden Smith both on the bench together at one point in first half. That's not going to happen probably ever unless both are in foul trouble. I mean, it was more a Matt Painter playing with rotations, experiments than anything. I like that Purdue doesn't play these games at home. I like that they go on to the road and play them.
Right. I mean, where else are you going to get it? I mean, you know, conference play, you're going to have these environments. So you might as well go to the best environment possible. One of the best, I should say, in college basketball.
100%.
That you know you're going to face on the road. Mackey's become one of the best environments in college basketball over the last, I would say, 5 to 10 years.
Yeah.
But you know, unless you're going to go to Cameron Indoor, I mean, Rupp Arena's right up there.
Sure.
Allen Fieldhouse, things like this. I mean, this was a, you know, A+. Hey, what do we got? You guys line them up. We're going to go play, and I'm just going to adjust and see how you guys do. I mean,
yep.
Fletch's not going to miss those open shots. Not happening.
No, and I think this is going to be a good three-point shooting team. It's just they're off one night. Thank goodness the game didn't count. And Kentucky's going to be a good team. They're long, they're athletic, like they should be. $22 million NIL team, reportedly. $22 million NIL team. So I like that, you know, Purdue test themselves against a team like Kentucky, because if Purdue is to stay healthy and fall short of their ultimate goal in the national championship, they'll probably be getting taken out by a team that's more athletic. So it's good to take them on head-to-head right away.
But, again, folks, there's a lot of time between now
yes,
and end of February, early March.
Yes.
I think this team has goals set ahead. I definitely wish off the dribble they were defending a little bit better. I think that'll happen as the year goes on. But, again, it's practice, folks.
Yeah, yeah. It's no time to panic. And if Purdue's going to lose games, everybody, this year, even if they're a very good team, even if they're the number one team in the country, a one seed worthy, they're going to lose games. Nobody in this day and age is going to go undefeated in college basketball.
Nope.
Not going to happen.
I want to jump right in the trivia then, because it goes right with my trivia because it's basketball related.
All right.
When was the last time Purdue lost a season opener?
What year was that? I want to say, so it was the actual date will be the year, right?
You can give me the date, yes.
Or the year. I'm going to go.
Give me the year. You're not going to get the date because it's going to be very hard.
I'm going
to
go November 2012 against Bucknell.
Ding, ding, ding. Matt's only season opener loss.
Yeah, I remember that game. It was back and forth that night. I was in the paint crew that night. And I think
all three of us were.
Yeah, that's right. I couldn't remember if you were at that game or not. I think Bird had a look at the buzzer but missed, or late in the game. Yeah, because that was the only time I think all year Purdue was in the tournament on bracketology. Never got back in. So, yeah.
If you want a bonus question, who was starting five that night?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm 12. Let's take a stab at this. All right. So you had Tyrone, DJ.
No.
No, Tyrone? Was he hurt?
Yes.
Okay. So 12, 13. Oh, gosh. All right, so I know DJ Bird was in the lineup. Jacob Lawson, right?
Not in the starting lineup, no.
No? Jeez. All right, just give it to me. I can't even think of the dang roster.
Okay, DJ Bird.
Yep.
Ronnie Johnson.
Okay.
Anthony Johnson. That's the one I thought you were going to get.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
That's a name from the past.
Yeah, that is.
Donnie Hale.
Wow.
Danny Martuse. Can you name any of the reserves on that team that night that played?
Sterling Carter?
No.
Or was that the next year? Gosh, yeah, see, I get those 2 years mixed up so bad. Eric Peck, was he the next year?
Yep. AJ and Raphael were on the bench that night.
Was Kendall Stevens still there?
No. He did not play that night, I should say. He was there, but he did not play.
Okay.
These are guys at long minutes.
Wow. John Hart had transferred by then, I believe.
Correct.
I honest to God can't think of anybody.
Okay. Your favorite Purdue player of all time, Travis Carroll?
Yeah.
Jay Simpson. Jacob Lawson. And I already said Raphael and AJ. But the last one, you're going to kick yourself. Drew Anthrop got in.
Wow. That was a lot of names there I had not thought about for a long time. So, wow. Program's come a long way in 13 years.
That it has. So, folks, wow. The guy improves.
Yeah. Yeah. That's those were the years that he was taking what was supposed to be star quality over fit and turned out as bust quality and bad fit. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. Dude, yeah. So if you're thinking fire Matt Painter, don't want to hear.
If anybody, if you're thinking fire Matt Painter, you're just a moron at this point. I mean, look at the guy's track record. He's not going anywhere till he wants to hang him up or leave himself. So
can you believe this is 20 years?
It's pretty incredible. I mean, it's crazy to think the last 45 years Purdue's had two head basketball coaches. That's unheard of.
Green Bay Packers of college basketball.
Yeah. Pittsburgh Steelers. Yeah.
Oh, wild. Yeah. Pittsburgh's. Yeah. Green Bay Packers quarterbacks, I should say.
Yeah. Quarterbacks. Yeah. Steelers have had three head coaches in like 60 years.
Yeah. That's true. It's going to be. When I started looking up this trivia question, I was blown away by like.
Oh, hey, that's crazy.
One time out of 19 years, he lost. And I was like, I thought Villanova was a kickoff game, but Villanova was the second game in 16. I was like, oh, I forgot.
Well, Evan must not be working too hard because he just texted us about the basketball game going on right now. So St. Oscar Clef has 2 fouls in 4 minutes. So
it's practice.
Yep.
It's practice.
Yep. Be aggressive. I like it. Be aggressive. Why not? Be aggressive. And I didn't watch too much of that scrimmage against Kentucky. I watched about 7 minutes of the first half. I don't know if you watched any, so I was wondering if you did. Did they have players foul out or no? Because I know some years, like last year against – or 2 years ago against Arkansas, they let players play with 7 or 8 fouls.
I did not catch that.
No, okay. I wasn't sure.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, it was just scenarios.
Again, well, and according to the box score, there was one guy in Kentucky that had 4 fouls. So nobody else had more than that. So hard telling.
It's not – again – yep. I went to the mind that's practice, preseason, whatever you want to put it as.
Yep.
Getting started up. Next Tuesday is all that starts what matters.
Yep. Against Evansville. Yep.
Which I'm really surprised we're playing a Missouri Valley Conference team right off the bat.
Yeah. I'm guessing they just grabbed whoever they could. And I think it's very hard to get teams to come into Mackey Arena the non-conference, of course. So in-state schools probably like, why not? Yeah. In-state kids pumped and get a good payday. So, yeah.
Yeah. I wonder why, like, Valpo doesn't come much anymore.
Yeah, they haven't. That, yeah.
Because this school could use a payday up here, I can say.
Yeah. Never see Ball State coming to Mac Arena.
No.
Of course you never see Butler. I don't, never understood why they don't do home-and-home with Butler.
Let's start with Notre Dame.
No, yeah, yeah. Even that, especially now Shrewsbury's there. You think that was something that could be worked out, but
mm-hmm. It's kind of like, why don't we do this? Even IUPUI,
yeah,
or whatever it's called now, Purdue Fort Wayne, even
at Purdue Fort Wayne, what is IU Indianapolis? I think now is the official name.
I think so.
Whatever it is.
So it's again, yeah, you're taking a loss, but I mean, who knows if you. If you're getting paid, you might as well go try and do it.
Indiana State, they've come in Mackey before. Yes. And they've probably been the most frequent visitor of all of those schools.
I thought Chicago State was.
Well, I meant in-state.
Oh, in-state. Oh, in-state.
Schools, yeah. Oh, yeah. Chicago State, do they have home games? I mean, honestly, I don't think they do until like February. Like, they just go on the road, cash checks wherever they can.
I think that's how that school makes money, is actually. Yeah. Since they're Division I, it's like go on the road and do a, like the – what was that? What the Spurs, they used to do the rodeo show.
Yeah.
Kind of what they do. They probably come back for finals and then maybe yep. play a home game.
The back on the road again. It's conference play time. But as a small athlete, as a basketball player, a small school like that, small D1, you get to go to a lot of cool venues, but it probably gets pretty tiring to be on the road all the time.
It definitely has to.
I doubt imagine. They fly some anywhere.
Oh no, they can't. There's no way.
I don't think they have the budget to. So
they're busting it.
Yeah, yeah. They're probably not going too far away then. Well, all right, boys, we got a bus trip out to Reno, Nevada.
maybe Washington State or Oregon State's paying.
It could be. Could be.
They need games, so they're like, "Who
we
wants
know
the game?"
We know they're not playing at Hawaii.
Well, the bus can't.
Right.
The bus would have to get on a ferry to go out there.
All right, boys. I hope you got your rowing muscles ready. Take you as far as we can.
Be gassed by the time they get out there. Sorry, Chicago State.
Then they got to row all the way back after getting beat. So,
God.
All right. Oh, well, that's a fun rabbit hole there.
Well, yeah, that definitely went sideways.
Yeah.
So, do we want to continue anything about – I'm more just looking forward to seeing how this team grows together at this point.
Yeah.
They're going to have bumps in the road.
Sure.
We'll talk about it more next week when Evan's back. Cause again, he will kill us both.
Yeah, he will. He would be very mad.
And we'll talk about Alabama then the following week.
Yep. Yep. It's hot and heavy. The schedule non-con. It's a tough gauntlet, but it's exciting. As a fan of a good team, you gotta be excited about that. I mean, they're challenging themselves. I think it's only beneficial. I mean, it's Tom Izzo way. He did it for years. I mean, and I'm not trying to take too many digs at Indiana, but they only have like two good quality opponents. And besides that, it's Cupcake City. So
I was shocked to see his DeVry's kid is one of the ESPN named him one of the top 100 players in college basketball.
Yeah, like, he was solid at West Virginia.
Until he got hurt.
Yeah.
I'm saying hurt.
No, he did get hurt, but yeah.
Well, we'll see what IU looks like, but
yeah, it's going to be a new team.
It's going to be a whole new staff, whole new
everything.
They got to build a whole culture.
Yep.
We'll preview next week a little bit of the Big Ten, yep. Kind of where we think as well.
Yep.
With that, I guess we can pivot to the fun part of tonight's show.
Yes, tonight's show. And before I forget, I want to give a shout out to Michigan at the Voice of College Football, the YouTube channel, for having me on last night. That was a lot of fun. John and JD over there. So, yeah, go check it out. You can see my analysis of Purdue's team this year. They pretty much just asked me questions. I gave my best answer. And I wasn't a homer. I was very truthful about the struggles. And everything. So, and score prediction, I was truthful. And I'm going to keep the same one tonight. I'll keep it in the chamber for the end. But yeah, those guys were nice. And they gave me props for coming on because I guess Michigan State dogged them last week. The only opponent all year they couldn't get a guest on. So it was Michigan State. Mm-hmm.
Be interesting if we can get it on an IU show. That'd be great.
I'm sure we could. Do we want to? Oh.
Why not? We can be civil.
For one, they'll have their own voice on College Football Channel. Only a handful of Big Ten schools do. Even though IU is very good, I don't know if they have the fan support yet to have one.
I'm still blown away that all the fans left. You're going to have beaten on Saturday UCLA. I was like, you're a football school now, guys. That's what you're saying.
That's what they say. Still got their Notre Dame football jackets ready just in case if it's an early playoff exit. Notre Dame's still playing. They can go dust that off.
You know what probably is going to happen is Notre Dame's going to play at IU this year.
I wouldn't want that if I'm an IU fan. I think Notre Dame's sneaky this year.
I guarantee that's going to be a matchup because I think IU's going to lose to Ohio State in the Big Ten Championship.
Yeah, probably.
So you're going to have one lost team that's not going to get double bye, and they're either going to play them or – They're going to host a playoff game this year.
Yeah.
There's no doubt.
Oh, yeah. Unless the only way they don't is if they drop two. And I don't see them dropping two of the next four. If they drop two of the next four, they're probably not in the playoff. Let's be honest, because who of their opponents left?
Well, the ring opponents left. They're 1-17 in conference.
Exactly. If they drop two of those, they're not making the playoff.
I don't see them dropping any of them.
Oh, I don't think they will either. But
I think Ohio State playing the next 5 weeks. They got to play 6 weeks straight going to the Big Ten title. That's a lot.
Yeah. The only way I see IU getting upset is if Mendoza was to go down. And maybe the backups, maybe the little brother is good enough they could still be fine. That would be a huge blow if he went down. But
I think little brother is going to be good next year.
Probably. Yeah.
And the one thing I just
– assuming Sig doesn't go out and get a different quarterback for like $4 million.
I don't think he will.
Yeah.
I bet he thinks that he can win with what he has.
Probably.
Before we get into this game, who's your Heisman front runner?
Gosh, that's a really good question.
I can give you mine. It's not Mendoza.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, but who's yours?
Marcel Reed.
Okay.
I think if they go undefeated, he's got to be it. I mean, they beat Notre Dame. He's played well all year.
Yeah. I'm looking at the odds right now because I'm interested. Ty Simpson's the favorite right now.
Correct.
He's been good. Mendoza's second. Sayin third.
I think he's getting overshadowed, though, by Jeremiah Smith.
Yeah. Reed's fourth. Diego's fifth. Yeah, I don't think he's going to win it. Gunnar Stockton. Jeremiah Love, Chambliss, yeah, he won't win it.
I don't see Jeremiah Love having Navy's their biggest game left on their schedule.
Yeah, I like who you went with. I could see that. I think A&M's really, really good.
And they get Texas after Thanksgiving. Man, he could have a Heisman moment on that against them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see how that Texas A&M team slips up. And they're probably going
to they're pretty darn good. Built with a lot of money, but they got a good coach too.
Built with a lot of money, but they finally have a coach, I think, that's probably going
to. Yeah. Elko's stud. Yeah.
He definitely showed Duke with a flash in the pan.
Mm-mm. So, all right, we've done enough talking around it. Let's get into the what I call the gut punch loss. Saturday, Rutgers comes in, beats Purdue Rossi 27-24 to improve to 3-0. All-time against the Boilermakers. Three losses to Rutgers by a combined 12 points. Very frustrating. And, man, you and I have watched a lot of Purdue football over the years. We've seen a lot of losses, a lot of heartbreaking losses. Can't say I've ever seen one end like it did on Saturday.
You play almost a perfect game up till then. Like, perfect in regards to discipline, smart.
Yeah, no penalties.
Zero, no penalties, no turnovers till you catch
them. Clean. Clean to game, and then your quarterback has a ball tipped at the line. He catches the ball, then he fumbles.
He tries to move the ball over to run.
And, you know, I was one of them after the game, just bat the ball down, which I still think he should have done, but it's easy to say that now. In the moment, he's reacting, trying to make a play. He's made crazy plays on broken plays this year.
Yep.
But, man, I just find a way to hold on to that ball. I'm not blaming him for the loss. Purdue should have. Purdue was up 10 twice with the ball in their hands and couldn't extend the lead to 13 or 17. It was kind of like the Minnesota game when we were up double digits. I kept like thinking we need another touchdown. You know, another touchdown could have been that knockout blow, and they just couldn't do it.
When you get in the third and long, that you first and second downs weren't successful, incomplete right. passes, couldn't really do anything of running the ball that well. And then you put yourself in third and long. Yeah, you're going to go 1 for 9 on third down. And that's really what killed them, was yeah. not sustaining those drives to get those scores to increase the lead. And then on the back end, your secondary just got torched.
Yep. One guy. KJ Duff, 6 receptions for 241 yards, 1 touchdown. He averaged 40.2 yards per catch. That's the most by a Purdue opposition wide receiver since 1983.
Really?
Yeah, my dad was a student. Yeah. Yeah.
I would have thought someone would have done it back in the Hazel era.
No, against one of those Nebraska teams against Brom, a guy went for over 200.
Wasn't Wanda, yeah, was it?
It was Palmer.
Okay.
Yeah, but Duff, most since the early 80s. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, on 6 catches, so...
Kaliak Manis, he just threw balls up too. That was the yeah. thing. There was some that he threw were good, but a lot of those he just
chucked
and it was there. Duff got it and it was mm-hmm. off to the races.
Yeah, he was 19 for 27 for 359, 1 touchdown. On the ground, Rutgers rushed 48 times for 184 yards. Purdue actually rushed 28 times for over 217. And a few of those were popped on big runs.
I was going to say, those were in the first quarter, folks.
Yeah. Malachi Thomas had a 57-yard run, longest of the year for Purdue. It's kind of coming out game for him. He also led the team in yardage receptions, 3 receptions for 50 yards and a touchdown.
He did. Maccabee was 16 for 91 on the ground. He had 2 receptions and a touchdown, too.
Yep.
They got him the ball more.
Yep. Harris had 2 for 42.
Yep. I'm just concerned, though. I mean, this is the most inconsistent team I've ever seen, I think, at Purdue. They'd be so hot, they'd beat themselves. You don't even know. It's a mixed bag every single week.
Well, and I think that's what's frustrating, because like I was saying last night on the podcast, I think Purdue's 2-6 record is deceiving a little bit, because – they've played well enough probably to be at least 4-4, but they shoot themselves in the foot and they don't have talent to overcome simple mistakes, beating yourselves, shooting yourselves and self in the foot type of scenarios.
It still goes again, go back to coaching, but it goes back to all the players owning it.
Yeah.
Responsibility too.
Yeah. And yeah.
At this point in the season, this shouldn't be happening.
Yeah, it's they just don't have guys step up when plays are really needed. At this point in season, I don't think you're going to find that.
You sure? Because Hershey came out of nowhere.
Yeah, he played well. I mean, in crunch time, you know, unfortunately, we haven't seen that out of Ryan Brown. You know, crunch time, Minnesota, unfortunately, a pick 6. Crunch time here, he fumbles. And I'm not blaming the game on them. I'm just saying, unfortunately, we haven't seen that go out and win us the game type of drive.
Does he even have that? That's,
I don't know.
I mean, he's the only one that can answer that. And Coach Devin has to see it.
You know, Brian Newbert in one of his columns said, Ryan Brown's a good football player, not quite sure how good of a quarterback he is. I think that's kind of fair.
Yes, because he's still making mistakes this far in.
Yep.
I mean, I understand, you know, Malachi did get in. Malachi did run the ball.
4 runs for 11 yards, and he had 2 for 3 for 11 yards through the air, 2 touchdowns. So,
yeah, I was hoping they would just keep it a perfect set of 2 for 2 before he took that third pass attempt. But yeah. I think hearing Henson's comments earlier this week, it's – I don't know if he has an answer.
Well, and let's be honest. They know what the guy – I know Odom says you can't look – forward past one week, but they know what the gauntlet is. There's nobody who has a tougher remaining schedule than Purdue in the country. I mean, you're playing 4 teams all should be ranked. I don't know how Washington's not ranked. All should be ranked, and two of them are the top two teams by the rankings in the country. I mean, it's – I hate – it feels like losers
– Two of them are the last two national champions too.
Yeah, and it feels like loser mentality. But, like, right now, if you told me Purdue would cover the spread in each game, I'd take that as a win. Because that means they're playing hard and being competitive.
Tom said that on Saturday.
Yeah.
Exact same thing.
If the white flag's not getting waved at halftime in most of these games, great.
Where do you go, though? Because you're not going to have momentum. The recruiting class ain't that great coming in from high school. Mm-hmm. Like, to sit here and say, here's an impact player such as George.
Well, Bacon, yeah. Yeah.
Rondale.
Who, let's be honest, if they played in the era that's college football now, Purdue might not have gotten them back then.
I still think we probably got George.
But the other,
David Bell would have been a question mark. Rondale, no.
Except Rondale did follow Brom because he's gonna go to Texas. So, maybe I'm talking myself out of that. Milton Wright, no, no.
I don't know. You talk about momentum. We talk about all these things that where we want this team to go.
Yeah.
I don't even know how you sell this in the portal outside of playing time.
Well, I think they got to figure it out. I think this offseason is make or break for the next couple of years. I mean, this is crucial.
I don't think we can't afford to take two buyouts into 27. There's no way.
No, Barry's here for a while, and I want him to be here for a while. But I'm just saying the roster,
construction.
Yeah, thank you. Construction of the roster. That's the key. I guess first off, you got to find what guys do you want to keep and how do we retain them. That's the first thing. Then after that, here's what approach I would take. Go get more Nunleys. Go get guys who starred at the mid-major, the non-power fours, and see if you can get them to come in. I think that's the approach I would take. I wouldn't go, even though Michael Jackson, Nitro Tuggle, they've been fine, I wouldn't go after the backups in the SEC schools and the big power schools. I'd try to get those guys who are excelling at the MAC level, Mountain West level, see if they want to make a move.
Did you listen to Shears, though, comments? He never even thought Nunley. Okay, Shears even said, I didn't even think Nunley would be this kind of player.
And I'll be honest, I'm doing a helmet sticker already. He's getting my helmet sticker for Saturday. I thought he played great.
I did too. I mean, he would actually be my helmet sticker as well. I was thinking about one of the Gunners, but punting wasn't that great.
And Malachi Thomas could be another one. He had a good game.
That's Webby's helmet sticker I can definitely tell you that he was already on that bandwagon after the first drive.
But besides Nunley, nobody can get to quarterback. But at least he can consistently get there, but nobody else.
CJ Madden's been very disappointing this year.
Oh, I barely ever see him out there.
No, he's not really out there in third down.
We took him to media day.
Yeah.
there's my point right there. Akron, Georgia.
Yeah, I don't know if he's coming back either.
I know.
And you look at all these guys, and Smiley Bradford's the one kind of stepped up out of nowhere. I mean, Tony Grimes hasn't been that great. So that's my concern is you're going to go to these, you're going to hit, it's going to be like roulette with these guys.
I know
that you're going to go in the portal.
I know. I hope Correa, they can retain him. That would be my first priority.
Has to.
Powell. He doesn't have any of my eligibility. I wish he did. No. Tackle machine, but
up front, you got to retain any of this offense. Well, I'm sorry. You can't let them walk out.
Well, yeah, they've played pretty well. They've improved as the year went on. And in skill position.
Harkless, you got to retain Harkless too.
Yeah. Skill position, you got to try to retain Tuggle.
I don't think he's going anywhere.
Yeah, you're probably right. Harris, I think you retain him. The other wide receivers.
Horton. I would entertain Horton. He's made some big catches.
Yeah, he had a big drop the other day, but Corey Smith has some drops, but I still like his potential.
But are we going to swing him and potentials. Yeah. I mean,
I don't know. I mean,
glaring hole is like, we don't have a tight end right now. That is
no. George being out's killed. It's hurt the offense. I mean, he'd be a red zone threat and is not existent. It's very weak room from a passing standpoint without him. So,
I mean, Hershey's McLaurin is going to come back. I mean, especially after last week, Sanford is going to come back as well. I mean,
there's a lot of young guys on this team, but
it's again, guys that are completely unproven. And then you're trying to go into a schedule the problem is you can't go. This isn't college football 10 years ago. You have
it's not 5 years ago.
Like, you have to have some proven guys and have some actual playmakers, or you have to have a dominant defensive and offensive lines. We have none of them.
Yeah.
And it blows my mind that IU has one of the smallest defenses I've seen in playing college football in a long time, and yet they go out and dominate.
Yeah, I think a lot of that's still the James Madison. I mean, Cignetti didn't lose much of James Madison. They were good players that could have played elsewhere probably, and they're proving it now.
They were all undersized, though. That's why they were at James Madison.
Next year will be fascinating when a lot of those guys are gone, but they got the momentum to go get very quality guys.
They got national exposure now. They're going to probably get 5-star commits here in the next few years.
Yeah, if they can keep it going. I mean, it's still – they'll probably never break the mold of a basketball school. I mean, we've never seen Duke and Kansas do it, but they've never Kansas made BCS Bowl, I guess. That's equivalent to making a playoff years ago. But
if they make the title game, though –
yeah, I still think it's a if, but you get in the mix, you of course got a chance.
You got a chance, and you get a draw now on the selection committee. That's all. It's matchup based and everything. You're going to. I don't see them getting a bye. Like I said earlier, they're going to have home game first round, and then they're going to go to neutral site.
Yep.
But can they play with a Georgia
or Alabama even
or Bama? Yeah,
yeah,
and I think they're going to be outmatched real quick.
Yeah, I think, I mean, well, they did go into Oregon and beat Oregon, but still, I don't know if Oregon's got what Bama and Georgia have.
I don't think Oregon was as of last year.
Yeah.
And I it's going to be interesting how they fare against Ohio State at the Big Ten Championship game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They're not stumbling. Ohio State could lose against Michigan. That's the only thing I could see left on their schedule. It's going to be those two teams. But getting back to our scenario here, we're staring down the barrel of 2-10.
Oh, it would be shocking if we didn't finish 2-10. That means we pull off a pretty sizable upset, which I guess if you keep the game close enough, you never know. But
well, this will be 2 years of non-power win, which is I want to go into some stats real quick. We did move back down the list for fewest penalties. Now we're 29th, and we're tied for 29th in the nation with Illinois with the zero penalties last week. I think keys for this game, Michigan's more run heavy team.
Their starting running back is out, according to the guys last night, but their backup's still averaging 5 yards per carry. So
against our team, that's going to be them playing an FCS school almost.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but it's the one thing they're concerned about is if Moore is aggressive or not, because he said they played right into Michigan State's hands last week, and that's why Michigan State kids stayed in the game.
I think they're going to be very aggressive with us starting out, and they're very, I think, 16th in the nation in rushing.
Yeah, they're more run heavy than they are pass.
We're 74th in rushing defense in the nation. Passing yards allowed, we're 104th. So, I mean, Bryce Underwood's going to get some probably areas, especially if we're going to have to stop the run and bring an extra guy in the box, which is going to be concerning. It's unfortunately, I would say, ain't going to get any prettier next.
Well, I mean, I don't know if many teams in the Big. I think you could pick 5 or 6 teams in the Big Ten that would absolutely struggle with this schedule.
Do you think I would be 500 with it?
I think pretty darn good.
So teams that we say we should rank ourselves with, Northwestern, they struggle with our schedule. I would agree.
Yeah, Michigan State would.
But Northwestern would also beat Minnesota and Rutgers. They won't do what we happen.
Yeah, most likely. They did beat Rutgers.
I'm saying what in our games. They don't beat themselves.
Yeah.
Michigan State, they would struggle with our schedule. Wisconsin now would. But I think Minnesota would get some done. And I would
They looked like trash against Iowa.
They did. That was surprising,
though. Oh, 41-3. It's like, what?
Maryland would do good.
Maryland would do good?
Mm-hmm. I think Loxley's real deal.
So you think they could give IU a game then?
We'll see this weekend.
Okay. I think UCLA would struggle with it. I mean, if we're saying where the games are at, keeping that, I think UCLA would struggle. I think Rutgers would struggle. Mm-hmm. So I think there's other teams besides us. But yeah, it sucks going in knowing we probably have barely a prayer in any of these games. I mean, looking at the series history of Michigan, we've lost to them 41 times. We've only beat them 13. Up at the Big House, we're 5-26. We've only played them in Ross-Ade 22 times, which is weird to me. We're
not
8-14.
Ticket revenue.
Yeah. Well,
you fell 44,000 people in there.
We just don't play them very often. I mean, we played them in the conference championship. Before that was Brohm's first year. Hazel never played them. It's just weird. We don't play Michigan too often. And I was talking about this with the guys last night, you know, in our lifetime, we've beat Michigan 4 times and we can remember 3 of them. Drew Brees in 2000. I mean, he helps. Yep. 2008 and 2009. Tiller's last year, Hope's first year when they had Rich Rod. And we had to pull off fluky things in both those wins. That's what I said last night. I said, if Purdue has any chance to win this game, they have to somehow win the turnover battle, get lucky, and pull off some trick plays. All three to have any chance.
And stop the run.
Yeah, unless you get flukes of fumbles. So, you know, it's going to take one of those scenarios where 9 out of 10 times Michigan beats us, but that one time type of thing.
Yeah, I don't think it's out of 10 times. It's out of 1,000.
And I mean, even when we beat them, the scores, 09, 38, 36, 2008, 48, 42, 2000, 32, 31, 96, 93. So they're single digit games. Even when we win, it's not like we go in there and take care of them easily. And only one of those wins is at the Big House. That was 09.
The only severance is that 08 game, Tate Forcier and Denard Robinson were the quarterbacks, and they were true freshmen. They have a true freshman again, but this one's much better than those.
Yes. Yeah, Denard beat Purdue 3 times, 10, 11, 12.
Was it 09? I thought
he might have redshirted in an 08.
Okay, because I remember Forcier was the quarterback.
Yeah, because he was definitely – Shoelace was definitely the starting quarterback in 10, 11, and 12 when Purdue lost to him 3 straight years.
Because we had like a 3:30 game against them like on fall break.
Yep, 2011 we lost 36-14. And then 2012 was the game was hyped up. Herb Street picked us to win the Big Ten and go to the Rose Bowl, and we lost 44-13.
Yep.
That was just a joy to be on the sidelines for that one.
I bet it was.
Just great. It's like, oh, is this gonna be this house gonna be all year? It was.
Yeah. And I outside of this, I mean, I don't know. Looking at our schedules, because I literally before I get to the other thing I want to talk about, and since we're on this game, do you think this will be the closest margin of defeat?
No, I think it'll be Washington.
Interesting.
Yeah, and I think Washington's a very good team. I just something weird about that game, and maybe it's the 4 players that are still remaining from our team from last year. I don't know. I just feel like they're going to want to try to take it to their old head coach a little bit, but it's not going to work. But I think that ends up being the closest game out of the 4.
I think this weekend is.
Okay.
I think that they're going to get ahead and just keep running the ball, and that's going to be the difference. And I think Ryan Walters is going to turn up the pressure, and Jed's going to have to call him off.
Okay.
I think in 2 weeks, 2 weeks? Yeah, 2 weeks. It's going to be personal.
Yeah, 2 weeks from Saturday.
Yeah, because we have a bye before Indiana.
Yes. They have a bye, too, that week. Yeah. Yeah.
It's – I think you want to turn up the heat. Next week's not going to be pretty at
all. No.
I would be surprised if you don't want to leave by half.
Yeah. Been there, done that.
If you stay the whole game, I'll give you kudos.
I'm not going to stay the whole game. Especially with my wife there. No.
Maybe you should ask if you can get in the press box since you stayed.
Well, the rumor has it for the bucket game that Indiana's trying to buy as many tickets as possible and candy stripe it out. That'd make me puke.
That it's a rivalry game. You can't let that happen.
I know. And, like, I've seen a decent amount of IU fan. Like, there was 2019 where they had a bowl team. I don't remember what the record was, and Purdue won 4 games. But they didn't bring tons of people. I'm afraid this year they're going to bring tons of people, assuming they don't somehow fall on their face before that game.
They won't. And I think we're 1 of 3 games that day, too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. Friday night, yeah.
We're the last game tonight, I believe.
Yeah, I think there's an NFL game that day, too.
Yeah, but it's day. It's not a night. Yeah. So, like, we're on NBC. We're on network television. It's
Now, speaking of that, we're kind of jumping all over the place, but that's what we do here. Now, you know a lot about the business side and contracts and everything, so you might know this answer. That's why I'm asking you. I thought there was a thing where every Big Ten team had to be on Peacock at least once.
Our game hasn't been announced for Washington,
though. Exactly. That's where I was getting to. I think there's going to be a Peacock game, right? Because if not, we don't have a Peacock exclusive game because for some reason, Ohio State, Big Ten Network, which I'm not complaining about, 1 o'clock, though. What's up with that? I didn't know they did 1 o'clock kicks.
I was wondering if a volleyball game was happening.
Well, on the same day, somebody kicks at 2:30. So I don't know why they – I don't know what they're doing there, but
– What's the date of that game?
8th. November 8th.
Okay, so it's not Veterans Day. So it's no, like,
I don't know. It's weird.
I'm just looking it up right now to see if looking at the other conference games. The reason I think we're on Peacock is because it's going to be a West Coast game.
Yeah.
And it's probably going to be an at night game.
Probably like 10 freaking o'clock.
Which at this point I might watch the first quarter just go to bed.
That's a good point.
Because I think it's gonna be bad.
Yeah.
I will have to say that has to be the Peacock game for us.
Yeah.
Because I don't even think they've played on Peacock. Because I'm trying to remember the Apple Cup.
Mitch Bell, maybe they don't care because there won't be any money in it. It's true.
Now they've already paid out the money, so they do care. That's the thing.
Hmm.
So, I'm trying to think who would be the other Big Ten games that night that you'd really want on NBC. Because Notre Dame wouldn't have the night game that week.
Yeah, they won't make us back-to-back NBC night games, though.
Let me hold my thought there. I think they will, because doesn't Notre Dame play Navy that night?
Oh, yeah, they do.
I think that's the NBC night game, actually.
Yeah.
So we would be on Peacock. Which, get used to it, folks, because we're on Peacock a lot for basketball.
But, yes. Yeah, I saw people complaining about Peacock rising their prices. It's like, you know what? Just either get it or don't. I'm tired of hearing everybody complain about it.
Or go to the seas.
Yeah, yeah. It's not going anywhere. Streaming is here to stay. Just pay or don't. I don't care.
Race to Jolly Roger and head to the seas. I do want to get to a point because before we go into picking games.
Well, I got my blind rankings ready, but go for it.
I want to get before your blind rankings. Okay. I'm watching the press conference this week and hearing Saturdays more or less Mondays.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. Yeah, you bookmarked this. Yeah.
Hey. No way. I love that someone asked about Grimes and Babinski on
Saturday. Tom did.
I don't know where he got that idea from.
Oh, I do. Message boards.
Oh.
They pretty much pleaded somebody to ask. So,
what job do you call your network to try to solve your institutional problems? You don't. Your leadership should be the one providing those solutions or doing that networking, calling consultants. I don't care. to hear that they are calling and reaching out to other coaches from Henson, and I didn't hear Shear say it, but Henson and Odom saying that, I was like, you got to be kidding me right now. Like, you all should be focused on game planning. That's Grimes' job. That's your general manager's job, Odom, that you've hired. Like, I understand he's player personnel, but you have a general manager title. Do we have a dysfunctional leadership in the football program? And because these folks should be trying to solve the answers. And I know we don't see this behind, and all he is just speaking good speak. Sorry, folks, new employees do say that. They aren't going to talk back and say, like, this is this. I mean, you hear from Walters, I mean, sound like he didn't get the support.
Yeah.
So you've thrown one coach out to the Wolves that we all think is going to be very successful one day. And we now have a coach that is he a true proven winner? I mean, yes, he is coach of the year in Mountain West. He did win games. He was kind of hovering around 500 at Missouri, but he has been through it.
Mm-hmm.
And if he doesn't have, and he's been through these scenarios, and he's reaching out and he's saying that you all are doing this great of a job, something's not meshing up here. And to think, I know Bobinski's going to retire. There's no way. I'm sorry, but like, what supporters are both of them providing?
I don't have any answer. I can't disagree with anything you're saying.
It blew my mind hearing that.
Yeah, I was thinking in my head, like, maybe he's venting to these people or like trying to get advice, but yeah, he shouldn't have to do that. But in my profession, yesterday I was at a marketing forum, right, where there's other marketers in my industry. And yeah, you know, we vent and throw out ideas and blah, blah, blah. And it's always good to hear, okay, I'm not the only one struggling with this problem. But I take that information and then I approach my leadership about it, because I know they're going to do something about it, or they're not going to do something about it, but at least I'm going to talk with them about it.
But he's saying that they're supportive. Okay. Grimes didn't run football at Alabama. And Bobinski, I don't fully have his full track record, but I think he got lucky with Brohm at this point.
Well, Bobinski, Georgia Tech. They didn't have football.
Correct. It was just basketball.
Yeah.
And Georgia Tech was Paul Johnson. He was there.
Yeah, and he did hire that's basketball anyways, but he's not there anymore anyways. So.
But where I'm going with this and why I don't – if people want to say Farrah Odom, no. No, yeah, no, no.
That's premature.
Like, if we're 2-10 still in year three, fine at that point. But when you're hearing this in press conferences that you're having – Grimes and Bobinski should know this business. This is your cash cow.
Should.
This, you should know where these pitfalls are. You should know where, hey, we're not going to have, quote-unquote, the NIL. These are the type of players that we've seen success at Purdue previous to us.
Mm-hmm.
These are the areas where we can definitely recruit from and get lower-level talent that still can come here and make an impact.
Mm-hmm.
These are the assessments that we should be running to make sure they are a fit for what we are doing, like what Painter does. Like, he gives that test. Now, I understand that's a hard thing to do in football because you have so many players, but you need differing opinions. We haven't heard them get in front of a camera and talk about what they are doing. They've rode Walters out there, they've rode Brohm out there, and now they've rode Odom out there. And it's getting to the point where it's like, why aren't you out here saying this is what we're doing? Why aren't you on the sidelines? Like, not going to, just because it's relevant in today's society. Carly Ursay.
I knew that was coming. Yeah. She's been taking notes and everything. Yeah.
Since 2012.
Yeah.
I feel like we're disconnected from the business.
Yeah, I can't tell you the last time I've seen Mike Bobinski talk about not just football, any athletics. I don't remember the last time since Odom's been hired, seeing him come out with any statement.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Or Grimes.
I've never seen her do anything.
Press release, get up there. I don't see her on the sidelines.
No, to be honest, I probably wouldn't even know what she looks like.
Go look at her picture.
I've seen her picture, but like, you know what I'm saying? Though, like, yeah. But
I mean, it's hard to see that them being vested, and then hearing that them going for outside counsel on a severe issue that predates them.
Yeah.
To me, that I think we have a hierarchical problem that's potentially going to need to be solved first before we can start walking again.
Well, and that's when the president of the university's got to step in too, then.
He's not going to.
Yeah.
He's got bigger fish to fry in regards to, like, I understand athletics is one of your biggest revenues and you're forward-facing, what your school is forward-facing. But when you look at it, it's like, oh, well, Purdue basketball is number one. Purdue volleyball's, you know, ranked in the top 25. Like, yeah. And then you have Olympics. Understanding your biggest forward-facing product being football to the eyeballs, it's not good. But the thing is, on top of it, is you're still bringing in students.
Right.
So it's like enrollment's up. I've kept costs down. Why should I concern myself with this much? And I get that they're like, the fan base is clamoring for money, 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 and talent, talent, talent. That can only get you so far.
You can also spend money on the wrong fits, too. A lot of schools have done that.
You could go find the wrong fits. We've seen that done before, too.
Yeah, last year.
Correct. So it's – I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but did you come away hearing the same thing after I said like that?
Yeah. No, it's concerning. I was surprised to hear him say that. I was surprised to hear him. I'm glad he's honest. Like, it tackles the question, doesn't beat away from it, beat around the bush from it. I mean, I think some of his coach speak saying that Bobinski's gave them everything he needs to succeed. I think that's some of that's just like, well, you gave me a $36 million contract just 9 years ago, so I'm still going to be nice to you type of thing. But
well, he's going to be nice to him for a while. I mean, if you're going 2-10 and making $6 million, know that you're going to get an increase, your staff's going to get an increase.
Yeah.
It's more than shelling out the money.
Yeah.
And I understand he makes a lot of money to, say, solve this problem. And his staff does, too. But as an institution, you need to support it. And if he needs outside consulting, or he's coming in, he doesn't know Purdue. This isn't right. A guy that was Danny Hope coming off, been here as an offensive line coach, knowing what it was. This isn't Matt Painter being selected. By the way, hearing him talk about Roy Williams is the only reason why he came to Purdue.
Isn't that crazy? That domino effect? That's wild.
That is crazy.
Yeah, because if not, Bruce Weber would have been coach. Yeah.
Correct. It's very concerning.
And, yeah, it absolutely is.
And I know this podcast doesn't go far. But if it does, like, I think to Babinski and to Grimes, be on the field. Be out there like what Colts fans are loving what Carl Yersay is doing. Be present. Go up and talk about things. Go up and talk about where our strengths, our weaknesses, our opportunities, our threats are to this business. This is your cash cow, is what Morgan all I remember coming him coming in the class and talking about that. And it's true.
Yeah.
That you can fill up more seats than you will in Mackey.
You can put 4 or 5 Mackeys on it.
Right.
I mean,
in all the auxiliary things that go around game day, maybe
3.5. I don't know. My math's a little off there, but you know what I'm trying to say.
All the auxiliary things, though, with tailgate and everything like this, the money and the revenue.
Yep.
Just think what Notre Dame's built.
I know.
Or what IU probably was going to build.
They're selling seats. Yeah, they're selling a bunch of seats right now. Yep.
And it.
I know it's frustrating. Very frustrating.
I think that's where I'm more frustrated about this year than anything.
That's fair. I think that's fair. And I know a lot of people, when I was going at it with people on social media, a lot of people did respond. They're more upset with administration and leadership than anything. So I think there's a lot of Purdue fans feeling just like you are right now.
Well, these are the only these are the main two cogs.
Yep.
Of the last regime. So if I'm them, go take your notepad down there. Go call press conference. Go sit with Odom in the press conference.
Yeah.
And say what you've done. And tell them where our opportunities are. And maybe they are, but you also have a fan base that you're on the edge of potentially losing.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want ticket, like season ticket holders like yourself, being fed up in 2 years from now.
Right.
If we go 2-10 again. Like, why should I buy tickets? You've raised prices on it. Why am I buying season tickets?
Right. Because they still had, I mean, Rossi was still pretty packed against a lousy Rutgers team the other day. I mean, and it'll be packed the next two games thanks to the opposing fan base. So, they can't complain about fan support, because fan support is there. Purdue's fans are dying to win. They're dying for a winner again. And
I will say, don't jerk your fan base around either.
Yep.
And your alumni base, go look what happened to the Chicago White Sox. They can't fill that stadium now.
Yeah.
Don't do a Reinsdorf.
Yeah.
So I hope something would change with this. Either they decide to come out. I don't want people to lose jobs, but got to be better.
Yep. That's well said. Well said, my friend. So, all right. Anything else on that topic, or you got it all out?
I got it all out.
All right. All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, good stuff. All right, blind rankings. So Michigan's known as one of the most famous, most traditional helmets of all college football, right? The wing.
Yep.
So I have chose five different helmets that Purdue has worn over the years. And I want your ranking on your likeness of them.
Do we have visuals?
Yes, I got pictures.
Awesome.
I got pictures. And I thought it'd help the audio listeners. Because they're going to be like, huh?
What? I was going to say a visual blind rank.
I got visuals. So, and some of these were worn multiple times. Some were one-offs.
Okay.
And you're just going to have to maybe strategically try to figure out what I got in the holster, too.
Okay. So. Can I ask one question before we begin?
Yeah.
How many hammered down cancer game helmets did you put in?
I think there's only one.
Okay.
Yep. Okay. Yep. Yeah, there's a lot going back. And so, all right, we're starting with this one. This was a one-off in 2022 homecoming against Florida Atlantic. The Purdue Pete helmet, the bookstore helmet. Pete on one side, number on the other. That's not the greatest picture of it, but it is what it is. You get the gist.
Yep. For folks, that's the university bookstore,
yep.
Purdue Pete. I'll go. I don't love it.
I like it a lot. I wish they would have wore it more often.
It's not my favorite. So I'm going to put it at four.
Four? Okay. The chromes that became popular under Jeff Brohm and haven't been worn since he left. I only think they were worn his last year. He had them at Western Kentucky, kind of brought them over. A few schools still wear chrome, but chrome's kind of been faded out. But, man, especially when Rossi got the lights, those things look sick.
They did look sick. So I'm going to give some viewers an idea. Like I love traditional items. This is number two, on my list because it's traditional, but has a little flair on it.
Okay.
Being gold. I don't like the black per se.
Okay.
So I wish we'd bring them back. I'll be honest with that.
All right. Here's one that, I'd never want to see the light of day again. Personally, Purdue wore these in 2015 and 2016 in a couple games. It was the first time they wore white helmets in a long time. White helmets with the train on one side, and the number on the other with a gold stripe down the middle. Little gold on the face mask there.
Yeah,
on the very front, if you look closely.
Yeah, it looked like they taped gold tape on it. This one's going to have to be five. I do not like numbers that you're not a traditional, like Alabama school, Georgia Southern, if you want to do something like that. Not my favorite.
Okay. The astronaut helmets, homecoming, Maryland, 2019. A lot of people, this is their favorite helmet Purdue's ever wore.
Numero uno.
Yeah, it's a sweet helmet.
It's cool.
Just the detail, the craters in the motion P, the footprints on the stripe of the helmet, the gold face mask, it's just clean looking.
This is the best uniforms all we've ever worn.
Yep, they are clean. They are clean.
Outside the Rose Bowl ones.
So which number you have left? Three?
Yep, three.
Well, haven't done a Hammer Down Cancer one yet.
Yeah, I figured you're leaving this last.
These were worn in 2015 of Bowling Green. I got to be honest. These are my least favorite Purdue helmets ever wore.
Are they the lime green ones?
Lime green with lime green on the face mask. I mean, I'm all for cancer awareness, the green color being Purdue's University Cancer Research. But my goodness, to put the green on the face mask was just overkill for me. And we lost that game.
Well, we lost that game. And I don't think great pitcher Jalen right here.
And the jerseys were disgusting, too.
Yeah, they were.
Charcoal grays.
Yeah. It has to be my three. I didn't know which Hammer Down Cancer game you're picking because those uniforms are terrible.
Yeah, a lot of them are. Yeah.
The basketball ones are bad, too.
Yep, they are.
I hate them.
Well, and there was a lot of, tribute for the troop helmets we had. There was the one I about pulled in 2014, I think it was, where all the different pictures made up the motion P. Yeah. That was a bad one. Oh, my gosh.
I do remember that one. One took me back. I think with the Hammer Down Cancer game, especially the football ones, they need to do something with Tyler Trent.
Yep.
I think that would be the coolest ones.
Yep. Well, they've got away from incorporating it into the helmet and the jerseys now and just,
Well, especially since Ethan's on the team, I think.
Yeah, that's true.
I think you can you're a marketing person, if you want to do that. Yep. I will say, though, the lime green for the cancer research, stop.
Yeah.
Just stop. Make sweatshirts, make t-shirts. Sure. Yep,
they did that. I think the cheerleading pom-poms were green this year, if I remember correctly. Okay. That's fine. That's fine. So, but
if I had to re-rank them, switch. The first two are 100% correct. Astronaut one, gold, chrome. Gold up, gold chrome two. I'd probably put the black with the actual Purdue Pete University three.
You had that three. No, that's right. That's right.
I had a four. Would put Hammer Down's last. Those
are
those
ones. Yeah.
And then the white
one's four.
Yeah. I wish we'd do the white, like Permian Panthers kind of deal with just single black stripe. Black.
Well, it's funny, Mitch. There was 2017 against Northwestern. We went white, black, P, and one stripe. Yeah.
Correct. I wonder if Permian Panthers put a cease and desist on.
Maybe it looked just like them. And then 2022 at Illinois, we went black helmet with a white P. We've had a lot of variations of the white and black helmet. So,
what's your favorite helmet of all time, though?
The Astronauts, my favorite. I'll always be partial to the tiller stripe, the gold with the tiller stripe. I wouldn't put that on. I knew that was going to be your favorite, so I wouldn't put that on there. I like the script ones last year, the black and white versions, but they just don't bring out good memories of the games.
I wish if we're going to do the script, I think the script needs to stay for basketball, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't like seeing it on football uniforms.
Yeah.
I bet they'll do a tiller one eventually. Yeah. I'm surprised they didn't do the Rose Bowl this year when they for 25 years on USC.
Yeah.
Definitely missed opportunity from a marketing standpoint.
Yep.
But we all didn't know about it either till the week of.
Yeah, that's a whole nother. And I'm looking at, I got a display over here of many helmets. I hated the black ones that Hazel brought in with the
railroad tracks
and the original motion P. And then Brom filled in the motion P got filled in a little bit by gold. It looks a little better, but I don't even like that one either. It was more of a matte black.
I just want to bring back the old Tiller uniforms.
Yeah.
Like 2004, circa 2003.
I don't mind the helmets we have now.
I'm fine with them. I just wish we could go back to those unis too, but Nike won't do it. And it makes sense. One thing I will say, I did see something, and we'll go through games this week. The Iowa Iowa-Minnesota game, not Michigan. Seeing John Deere's now, like, sponsoring them on the field, I was like, man, that's cool.
Yeah.
And I thought about it. Man, why don't we just go back to our old, like, the old Purdue logos there that were where the Big Ten logos are instead of having one in the middle of the field.
Yeah.
I miss that.
Yeah. I miss how the end zones used to be, like, in the early 2000s. Purdue on one side, Boilermaker Center, and it had the shadow drop on it.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Not like that is now. What you have.
Everybody's got lazy.
Well, it's cheaper, probably.
Yeah, cheaper. I mean, paint when you were taking. I think I read the Denver Broncos on Sunday use 100 to 130 gallons of paint to paint the field again.
Well, we have to use more because we've outlined the field in black. Yeah.
Do we still do that? I know this picture. I can't. We probably do, but well, Morissette hadn't played, so I'm going. Yeah, I'm not. Sorry, Morris. Hopefully this week. Maybe this is the week he plays.
I highly doubt it.
Well, my dad's theory is he wants to get another year of eligibility, and he can play his last four games and still redshirt.
Good.
That's my dad's theory because I don't know what else. They keep saying he's practicing, and he did go through warm-ups the other day. So
it's got to be close. Think he's going to make that big of a difference, though?
No. Even though Tom said he should be wide receiver one at this point.
I don't even think he has chemistry with Brown at this point. So what?
How would you?
No, at this point, it's this season's a sunk cost.
Very much. I just want him to be competitive and play hard. That's it.
I want to see improvement every month, but that's not happening.
Well, it's November now. October was the opportunity, and they had to. If we were 4-4, we'd be feeling a lot better, a lot better. But we're not 2-6. So
4-4 would still feel like it was incomplete with us things out there.
I would have taken 4-4. 4-8 was what I was striving for this year. So
we're both. You said 4-8. I forget. Did Evan say 5-7?
He might have.
I feel like he went very like aggressive. I said 3-9.
Yeah. But let's be honest. If any of those predictions happen now, we'll be thrilled because that means we beat somebody we're not supposed to beat this month.
If we go 3-9, I'd be blown away.
Yeah. If we go 4-8, I might have to try to do a backflip on this podcast. I can't do backflips. So
if we win the bucket back and go in 3-9, I'd be
sign me up right now.
I'd be the happiest person the rest of that weekend.
Sign me up right now. So all right, let's get into games. This was supposed to be the Big Ten game of the year. It's not. Penn State at number one, Ohio State, who's 20.5-point favorite.
And it's still in the Fox Noon contract.
Yeah.
For Big Noon. I love it. You said Ohio State's a 5.5-point favorite?
20.5.
Oh, I thought you said 5.5.
20.5.
Like, what book are you looking at?
Yeah, not the right one.
Ohio State large.
Yeah, they're going to roll. They're just going to keep rolling.
Yep.
Rutgers at Illinois. Rutgers now 4-4. Illinois 5-3. Illinois is probably out of playoff contention now after that loss at Washington. Illinois is 12.5-point favorites.
Yeah, Illinois rebounds here. I'm so disappointed. That team got shellacked. They should have not got shellacked. That was, I would have thought they had an outside chance if they would have won last
week. Yeah, I think Illinois wins and covers. Michigan State at Minnesota, 3-5 versus 5-3. Minnesota's a 3.5-point favorite.
I'm going to go with Jonathan Smith. I think this is a big game for him.
That'd be a bad loss for PJ.
It'd be a bad loss for him, but I'd also, he needs for his job.
Yeah.
Up there.
Yeah, I think Minnesota wins, but by about 5 points. It's pretty close.
Okay.
Number two, Indiana. This line has dropped a little. 21.5-point favorites at 4-3 Maryland.
I think Maryland covers.
That's a pretty big spread for a 4-3 team.
It is. And you know what? Give me the Terps.
It's 2 weeks in a row. Your UCLA pick didn't go too hot.
Give me the Terps here.
I hope, God, you're right. I'll be thrilled no matter. I wouldn't care what happens in our game. I wouldn't care.
If they win, you need to do the Six Flags. Remember that turtle guy that was for the Six Flags commercial?
Oh, yeah.
You need to do that dance next week.
I think Indiana wins, but I'll say Maryland covers. IU wins between 17 to 20, but Maryland covers.
Shock the world, Loxley.
Please. Number 23, USC, who is 5-2 at 6-2 Nebraska, but USC is a 6.5-point favorite.
Do you think the Matt Rhule rumors have sailed now with Penn State with him losing?
I would be, if I'm Penn State, he'd be like my seventh choice.
I think they got to be going Joe Brady.
I think so too. Well, LSU could be.
If I was LSU, I'd be wanting Coach O back. Go Tigers.
Oh, God.
Shouldn't have let him go.
Probably not.
Give me Lincoln Riley here.
I like USC in this game.
Yep.
Top 25 matchups. This will be a good one. Number 9, Vanderbilt, 7-1 at number 20, 6-2 Texas, who is a 2.5-point favorite.
Hook 'em horns.
Yep.
I think it's going to happen.
They had a good comeback at Mississippi State, got a little momentum going. I think this ends Vanderbilt's playoff hopes.
Not necessarily. They could lose
this week. They still have at Tennessee.
Correct. I think that if they win this week, they're losing at Tennessee.
Number 16, 6-1 Louisville at 3-5 Virginia Tech. Louisville's 9.5-point favorite.
What Virginia Tech has become since we were, I would say, teenagers. That program has now become trash.
Yeah, he used to be consistent of the consistent. Not anymore.
Elite players, too, coming out of there.
Yep.
Give me Brom and company.
Yep, I agree. Number 12, Notre Dame. 28.5-point favorites at 1-7 Boston College.
Christian Hackenberg ain't walking through that door for Bill O'Brien. Give me
Notre Dame's going to kill him by about 40.
I forgot Boston College wears New Balance uniforms.
Oh, I was watching a little bit of their game against Louisville, and I even said out loud to my wife, they have the most boring uniforms, I think, in college football. Because I can respect Navy's, even Penn State's, but Boston College just – the colors are ugly. I don't know. Just
what are you going to do with maroon and gold?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think they've had a – have they had a good team since Hershey?
Not since Matt Ryan.
No, I thought, like, that linebacker, Hershey, that calls games now, beat cancer.
Yeah, I thought he was there around when Matt Ryan was, no?
Mm-mm. Okay. He was after.
Oh, they had some decent teams. Well, they were ranked. They came into Ross 8 ranked in 2018 when they had A.J. Dillon. A.J. Dillon was a beast.
Well, they had A.J. Dillon, that quarterback's now at Florida State. Because he had his, like, COVID year and everything. He's playing for Norvell.
Yeah, you're right. I can't think of his name. Played really good against Alabama this year.
Yep.
World's largest cocktail party, number 5, 6-1 Georgia, and 3-4 Florida. Georgia's 7.5-point favorite.
Georgia large. I agree with Kirby. This game needs to get out of Jacksonville.
Yep. Go back to going on Gainesville and Athens. Mm-hmm. Number 15, Virginia, 7-1, traveling across the country to play the 5-3 California Golden Bears. Virginia's a 4.5-point favorite.
You're the Bears on this one, actually.
I like California in this one,
I think it's going to be an upset this weekend.
Yeah, that's a long plane ride. So
it's a long plane ride, and are your guys ready for a later game in the day?
Right. Number 8, Georgia Tech, 8-0. At 4-4 NC State, Georgia Tech is a 5.5-point favorite.
Give me Keys and the boys.
Yep. I don't think they're championship good, but they're going to be in the playoff. They don't lose to somebody in the regular season, then lose the ACC championship, then they probably don't get in.
No, false on that one. They can lose to Georgia.
I forgot. Yeah, they do play Georgia, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Number 18, Oklahoma, 6-2. This is an elimination game. Number 18, Oklahoma, 6-2 at number 14, Tennessee, 6-2, who's a 3.5-point favorite.
You mean Heupel?
Yep. I think the Vols get it done. If this was at Oklahoma, I'd pick Oklahoma. But
do you think Venable's fired?
I think his seat gets hot if they lose this one. I think he gets one more year, but I think it gets hot.
Do you think the only reason I ask is because we've seen crazy firings already. So
I know.
I wouldn't be surprised if the job opens up.
That coaching carousel is going to be nuts.
We're not in it.
Oh, we'd be scraping at the bottom of the barrel.
I don't think we'd get Tyson Hill.
If he and, like, Candle don't get jobs somewhere, because it's going to open up other jobs we're not even thinking about. If they don't get jobs this time around, I don't know when they're going to get jobs.
He's taken Western Kentucky 6 years straight to a bowl game.
Yeah.
He's been 4-2 in those bowl games.
That's been a good program for years. It's been set with a good foundation years ago and just keeps winning. College game day, game number 17, 7-1 Cincinnati. Talk about saving your job. Satterfield saved his job. At number 24, 6-2 Utah, who is a 10.5-point favorite.
Utah's 10.5-point favorite?
Yeah.
No. Give me Satterfield. I think Satterfield's probably setting himself up for a better job too.
I think Utah wins, but I don't like him covering that spread. I think that's a little large. But and Boilermakers 21.5 point dogs. It was 20.5 yesterday. 21.5 point dogs at number 21 Michigan. Score prediction, MVP, and spicy / bold prediction.
Score prediction, I'm going to go 45-10. No, 13.
All right. I'm agreeing with you, 13. I'm going 37-13, Michigan.
Okay, so you're saying a field goal. I'm saying 9 touchdowns from the – sorry, 5 touchdowns. I can't do math.
Math. Blowout.
I'm saying 6 touchdowns on a field goal. Sorry, folks.
There you go.
So we're both saying we don't cover.
No.
I think they're just going to control the clock and just beat us to obliviation. Player of the game. Are we saying it's probably going to be Cray or Powell on our side? Because there are going to be tackles everywhere. But I'm going to say player of the game is Bryce Underwood. Because if they're running back out, he's got to throw the ball and run.
Yeah, he's only thrown for 7 touchdowns this year. So they've ran for, I think, 16 or 17 as a team. Mm-hmm. So I'll go on the offensive side. I'm just trying to think of somebody. How about Nitro Tuggle? He hadn't gotten the end zone for a while. So I'll go Nitro.
Didn't he get him last week?
He did. I'm an idiot. He did. In the corner.
I was going to say it was wide open by you.
Wide open ball. I'm still going Nitro. I'm sticking with it. Northern Indiana boy. Maybe he liked Michigan growing up. I don't know.
I don't even think we sniffed the end zone, like red zone area twice.
Hey, maybe we can move the ball on good defenses. We just can't finish. We've proved that all year long.
Yeah, I'm going to say we're going to get in the red zone, but we're not going to do anything.
Yeah, we just can't finish.
So, bold prediction.
Part of me wanted to go real ballsy and say Brown because he's a Michigan guy. But
you're going to love this one. Manny Power, Charles Correa is going to get called for targeting in the second half.
Why would you do that? Why would you do that to us?
Well, we're not going to play a penalty-free game this week.
I haven't seen any targeting hardly this year at all.
I've seen a few in SEC play. They're going to call for targeting. We're not going to have them first half Ohio State.
Great. Great. Purdue will lead at one point in this game.
That's really?
Bold. It might be a field goal start the game. That's even one of the Michigan guys. He only had to score a touchdown. He thinks we'll go down because they're like, our defense is usually terrible first drive of the game. So he thinks on the scripted plays, we'll go down and score, and then they'll settle in and smack us.
Have we moved the ball down and scored, though, in the last month? First drive of the game? Last week. Last week was the first drive. Prior to last week, I can't remember if we never did.
Minnesota, did we score the first drive? Yeah, Singleton ran it in. Fourth down.
Oh, yep, you're right.
Yep. But Northwestern, we didn't score.
No.
So, yeah.
I don't think Illinois was first drive we scored either.
I think we did, and then we were rolling again, and Michael fumbled. I don't know, but that might have been the third drive when he fumbled. We might have scored the second drive, but we scored early and had the – so we had the ball up 7 going in for at least a field goal, and he fumbled.
Okay.
So.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
Well, regardless, we're both in the same boat. I think if Evan was here, he'd probably say Purdue. 28.
I don't think he'd say Purdue this week.
It'll be interesting, folks. Come back next week, see what we say about Ohio State. Walk-ons play next week is going to be the question.
I mean, we have 82 new players for a reason, so. I mean,
do Ohio State walk-ons play?
Oh, yeah, probably. Oh, they don't take a full roster on the road, so. But their third string guys they do take will get some time, I'm sure.
You don't think they would pad it and say these guys were taken on the road?
No, you can only have a certain number.
Well, I know, but we're going to say like, hey, starters, pulling you early. So we're going
to. Backups will come in, but I don't know how many walk-ons. I don't even know how many walk-ons Ohio State has.
I remember I had a roommate said Ohio State doesn't recruit players, they choose players.
Yeah, that's arrogant, but probably not wrong.
No.
So, all right,
let's pay some bills.
Let's pay some bills. Let's talk about some fun things. And one of those is a great sponsor that's been on board for the last couple of years. That's Mad Mushroom. The Boiler Breakdown is brought to you by Mad Mushroom. They've been serving Boilermakers since 1993. They're located in the heart of West Lafayette and well known as the home of the original cheese sticks. Whenever I visit, Aaron visits, Evan visits, or Andrew, our other co-host that we haven't had on the podcast yet this year, we like to sit down and have an ice cold beer while trying out their latest pizza of the month, which you can only get this pizza for a couple more days. That's the dessert style. Tell them about it, Lynch.
Yeah, so it is the caramel apple pie. It has their brown sugar sauce topped with lots of apples. So if you're in that, it's apple season, so if you're craving for apples, this might be up your alley. It also includes crushed graham crackers, walnuts, and cinnamon, and finished with a caramel drizzle. So next time you're in town, stop in and tell them the Boiler Breakers sent you. And also, on your online order, use the promo code BREAK5 for any $5 off of an order over $20. So
it's Mad Mushroom. Feed your head. Actually, it's only good for online use.
I did say online use.
Yep. So not in store. It used to be good. And so you can still tell them we sent you, but it's just not going to help you get anything off your bill.
Well, you can order it while you're at the counter.
That's true.
Online.
That's true.
You know, we have phones now.
We do have these pretty much built-in computers in our pockets. So, you know, our other great sponsor is The Shop. They are a great locally owned company. Better owned company also, I should say. They got three locations. They got downtown Indianapolis, one in Broad Ripple, and one in Carmel. They got a whole array of Purdue apparel and drinkware. Also, they got Indiana. They got Butler. They got Ball State. They got Wabash. They got DePaul. They got most Indiana colleges, not the ones up north and South Bend for obvious reasons. They also have pro teams. They have Indiana culture apparel. They got stickers, drinkware. So whatever you're looking for, check them out at theshopindy.com. And when you use promo code breakdown, you get free shipping. So they're constantly doing deals. Look for their deals, but also use our promo code breakdown for free shipping. Can't go wrong with anything you get from The Shop.
And folks, we're less than 2 months from Christmas.
Yeah. So get on it. I need to get on it myself. Actually, I did actually do a little Christmas shopping yesterday for somebody. So
really?
Yeah. I bought somebody something yesterday.
Good for you.
Yeah. It wasn't planned. I came across something that I knew one of my relatives would like. So
good for you. Too early in my case.
Yeah. Well, you're a little preoccupied right now, too.
Yes.
So, well, all right, Lynch. Any final thoughts as we wrap up? I don't know what the score. Let me check what the score of the basketball game is. Not that it matters, but I feel like
last, it's going to say it should be around halftime, a little after halftime. It should be in the second half.
Well,
we can chamber this for another discussion, but do you think men's basketball should move to quarters instead of halves? Like what?
If everybody else is going to, I don't know. Yeah, might as well.
I don't know why we don't. There's more commercial opportunities, I feel like, that way too.
Well, that is not giving me a score. That's frustrating.
I'll look too.
Anybody? Well, we shot 67% from three in the first half. I know that much.
Better, but we're also home.
That's true. See if the exponent has something here. This is great audio for everybody.
Well, it's also behind a paywall. Big Ten Plus.
This was 31 minutes ago. Purdue was up 46-28 at halftime.
15. So I have 15-23 left in the second half. Purdue's up 58-36.
And at halftime, Jakari Harris was leading scorer with 13 points.
Not surprising.
No, I think he's going to have a big year.
I think he will too.
Yep. So, all right, Lynch. Well, let's boil it up, hammer down, pray to God. And hopefully we find a way to beat the Wolverines.
Boiler up.